B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, welcome to this week's, it's an all-new episode of Nerd Radio. Al's got a new hat, I bought new shoes.
Yeah.
James is wearing an old t-shirt, but it's new to us.
But I'm here.
We've never seen it. Yeah! And that's
I'm
new.
I'm here, so that's new for me for this week.
Yeah. Oh, man, and what a week it is. Like, okay,
I did like how you promoted that on social media. I phoned it in, literally.
Literally.
Yeah, I did. I felt like, I'll be honest, once we hung up, I was like, am I like a douche now?
No.
I'm like, am I just a huge douche? I was like, you know what, guys? I am not going to drive 10 minutes back to the studio, 10 minutes from my house, and come in there and chat with you guys. I'm going to sit here at home and do it on the phone.
No, longtime listeners know that there were episodes back in the first year or so that I would have to talk to Jefferson on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Because he would be doing an event for one of the other stations here.
Yeah.
He on the promo team and stuff. So, you know, the precedent has been set.
Okay, cool.
Now, if I got to call you on the phone like every month, you know, like once a month, then I'm going to start to get a little pissy about it.
But... Yeah.
I'll have to put that in my contract.
There you go. There you are.
I'm going to sign that big Nerd Radio contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, we can go two directions to start the show. We can either talk about what we've been up to, or we can talk about what the rest of the world has been up to.
It's a choose your own adventure.
It's Bandersnatch all over again here. So where do you guys want to start? Because there is plenty to talk about.
It doesn't really matter to me.
Wait, what are the options again? What have we been doing?
Oh,
crap. Well, my life's not very interesting. So
we could probably cover that in like 2 minutes.
We might be able to do them both.
Well, you got anything, James?
I got lost in the Rick and Morty VR for a couple hours, and that's about it. Some gardening, some home gardening that I won't get into. Other than that,
I went and replaced my television. Al does the voice for the commercials for the local.
The resale
shop.
Yeah, resale.
They sell TVs there.
They sell TVs there.
They've got all sorts of stuff.
They do,
and they pay cash.
Yeah,
it's like a nerd pawn shop.
It really is. It's a nerd pawn shop. But the sale that's going on at least until the end of March is buy three Wii games, PlayStation 3 games, or Xbox 360 games, get three free.
Oh, wow.
So
I walked into the studio one morning, and he cursed me out because he goes, you just spent money. Like, what
are you
talking about?
You just cost me a bunch of money.
Because I voiced the spot, and I happened to deliver the information to him. He's like,
I didn't know.
I'm going to go spend a bunch of money. I'm like, come on!
Played the spot at like 1:12 in the morning and went, oh, no.
Yeah, 1:12 in the morning. I get here at like 10 to 5, and so he'd been stewing on that for hours to curse me out.
Six games for the price of three, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many games did you end up buying, Chuck?
Well, okay, so here's the story. I grabbed a bunch of stuff. I don't remember if I talked to you guys about it on the show or maybe off the show, but, you know, around this time last year, I got that Super Nintendo thingy that's got, like, the 20 games in it, and I figured out how to mod it, so it's got every Super Nintendo game I ever want or something like that. So I'm thinking to myself, if I ever play a Nintendo game or a Super Nintendo game ever again, it's going to be on this little box.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to still own all those games? So I packed them all up. And I took him to Disc Replay, not intending to buy a TV, intending that, like, okay, I'm going to see if I can find six games that I want to buy. Traded them all in. Some of them I actually had the instructions and the box for. So it was one of those things where I gave them to the girl, and she's looking stuff over, and I'm looking through games, and she comes back. She's like, if you want to take cash, it's going to be about $160. If you want to take credit, it's about $211.
Oh, wow.
I said, I'll take the credit. Thank you very much.
Nice.
By that time, I'd only found four games.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's just not enough that I could. But Amy was with me, and she's like, they got TVs here. If you want to, you know, look at some TVs. You did break
Was that passive aggression by any
you
chance?
Break you know what's fun is that she has been such a good sport about this. She called me Monday to make sure I was okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this is my follow-up question on that, because I saw your Facebook post after we had discussed it.
Okay.
All right. And then I saw that the first comment was from Amy, and I was actually wondering, is this how she found out that you broke the TV?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You probably wait for her to come home, so you'd be like, hey, the TV you know already watches.
So you posted on Facebook!
Yeah, well, I knew she was going to find out. There's no hiding it.
No, there's
so,
not.
You know what? Here you go. She was out with her friend, and she called me from her friend's house. I was like, "Are you? Did you hurt yourself?
Well,
are you okay?"
Yeah,
I was like,
"Well,
yeah,
your
no,
household needs one level-headed person, so I'm that's
dumb.
Amy." Yeah.
Yeah, I'm dumb, and
I think one of the cats comes second.
Maybe. The fun thing is that she has not been really passive-aggressive about it at all. She has joked about it.
Okay. Yeah.
I have earned every one of those jokes, and I will take
good.
Them. I will,
good.
We're walking around Disc Replay, and I found a instead of a 55-er, it's a 55-inch TV or a 50-inch TV.
Downsizing.
So, downsize, but it's 5 inches. Who's going to notice?
Well,
5 inches?
Who's going to notice 5 inches?
I don't know. Notice 5
no.
inches.
I was going to say, someone's going to notice 5 inches missing.
No.
It seems about 5 inches smaller.
But I ended up picking up a new TV instead. And the first thing we did, we got home, we hooked it up, and the first thing we did was watch Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, nice.
just to see on Netflix, just to see if it worked. So that was pretty cool. And this was the week that Into the Spider-Verse came out, so I went and picked that up yesterday.
Nice.
We're going to sit down and watch that probably tonight.
And you got your whole week planned out.
I know.
Lots
I know.
Of stuff to do.
Yeah. You saw Venom, too, right? You got around to Venom.
Yeah, I got around to seeing Venom. Man, that was a fun movie.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Have you seen it, James?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Like,
yeah, I enjoyed it.
It was definitely it's a Sony product, instead of a Marvel thing, but it's in, collusion with Marvel.
Yeah.
And there's some harsh language in that movie, and it definitely feels like a movie that was made around the time that, like, Blade and the first X-Men movies were made. It has that kind of tone to it.
Yeah.
But the interactions between Eddie Brock and the symbiote are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some real dark humor to it because the symbiote just wants to, like, the scene I think I told you about a couple weeks ago, it's the scene that put me over the edge of, like, I got to see this, was when he beats the guys up in the apartment, and the symbiote's like, now let's bite off all the heads and put them up in the corner, pile them up in the corner.
Yeah.
And Eddie's like, why would I do that? He's like, pile of bodies, pile of heads.
Venom's going to be next on my list because I did finally get around to Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, good.
Over the weekend. Yeah. And I started Venom. I actually, for the first time in 13 years, I didn't have to work on St. Patrick's Day. And like a normal person sees that as an opportunity to go out. I didn't set foot outside of my apartment.
Yeah.
at all. I made some corned beef at home. I had some Bushmills Irish whiskey. And I put on Venom, but I was like, no, it's St. Patrick's Day. I got to celebrate in my style. I got my whiskey. I got my corned beef. The Quiet Man from John Wayne. Got to put
all
that
right.
in. So,
See, for Amy, it's Boondock Saints.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's
I think it's Boondock Saints and The Departed are the two movies that she's got to cook up some potatoes.
Yeah, well, I'm 97 years old, so John Wayne in Ireland.
No, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
But so, I finally got around to Ant-Man and the Wasp because, again, I really want to see Endgame in theaters.
Yeah.
So this weekend, next weekend, something like that, I got to get to Captain Marvel.
For sure.
So I'm caught up for Avengers.
Yep.
But
that I think since the last time we talked is when they I think it was like last Friday or Thursday, they put the Endgame, the final Endgame trailer out too, which was kind of
neat. Oh, yeah, I still have not watched that.
Yeah.
I haven't either, and I don't plan on it. I mean, like, I watched the teaser with James because we were going to do an internet video.
Because I couldn't avoid, like, no matter where I turned on the internet, there was people talking about it. Yeah. So I was like,
And honestly, that's, as you know, I don't really do trailers. Like, if you
I
wanted
understand.
To do another reaction video, James, I would do that with you for, like, the sake of this thing that we do. But other than that, I won't go out of my way to watch it on my own.
I'll only do it with you if you bring that big D.
Stay tuned to the end tag to find out what that's all about.
But that's
stay tuned for my big D. Coming up.
It's coming soon.
That's the thing about this trailer, too, is it's only taken scenes from, like, the first hour of the movie.
Oh, really?
Been saying. Yeah.
Okay.
To try and make sure they don't spoil any of the, like, really big things that are supposed to happen in the movie.
I feel like there's going to be some time travel stuff.
That seems what everybody seems
realm.
To expect.
Yeah, I think they're going to use, this is my, take me into, like, screenwriting / like, film school, but I feel like they're going to use Captain America's beard as an object in play, like, in the movie.
I had an argument with not only a guy at the comic store after the trailer released, but then telling Amy about it, argued with her about
comic book store arguments can be some of the most frustrating and also some of my favorite experiences ever.
There's a scene at the end with Captain Marvel and Thor, and he pulls the hammer past her to his hand, and she doesn't flinch. She kind of, like, gets this smirk on her face, like, okay, you're trying to rattle me, it's not going to work. And he goes, I like her. But when he pulls the hammer towards him, I got an argument with the guy that between the fact, is that Mjolnir or is that Stormbreaker?
Oh.
From Endgame.
Yeah.
Is that his old hammer or is that his new hammer? And I told the guy, no, that's not Mjolnir. That was totally Stormbreaker. And then I came home and Amy watched it with me and she's like, that's not Stormbreaker. And I'm like, well, it's not Mjolnir, because it looks like it's about like a two-handed hammer now. So I don't know if he has a new hammer or if we're all just wrong.
And this Thor's is got a new big hammer. These are big hammers today.
This is exactly why those arguments can get frustrating, because she's right. Like, yeah, no, it's not Stormbreaker. And it's still not the one.
Right.
Yours is still not backing down.
I might be wrong, but you're not right.
Oh, comic book arguments. I love it.
No, I want to watch that trailer. I want to see Thor's new hammer.
Right.
Let me see it, Thor.
All right. Let's take a quick break and come back. Like I said, we got a lot to get to. Not only have we been busy, but the rest of the world has been busy. We are living in a brave new world, my friends, as of 12:02 last night. And I'll tell you about it when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Don Gibb, Ogre, Dr. Death, Jackson, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, on the Peapod Studios Network, and of course, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined, as always, by Al Beck and James.
Hello.
How you guys holding up this afternoon?
Good so far.
Yeah, so far, yeah. So good. Things are moving smoothly. So.
Yeah. You know, something I wanted to throw in real quick, comic books related.
Sure.
So, like, as we know, I've been months and months behind on this thing. Over the weekend, I did have like a comic book reading marathon, and I gotta give some credit to DC because like I finally got caught up to just after Stan Lee had passed away, and Marvel did that whole black band across the entire line, everything had a black band on it, as you would expect. And I was reading something. Did you see any of the DC tributes?
I did.
Yeah, so I just thought it was cool, just for anyone who maybe didn't catch it. I was reading, I don't know what it was, Green Lantern, Batman, something. I was reading something in DC, and I was thinking to myself, like, I wonder if they did anything to acknowledge Stan's death. Because it's like, we're talking about Stan Lee. He's like the biggest name in all of comics.
Right.
And whatever issue I was reading at the time, I flipped to the back, and I do see this full page, that just says, with the utmost respect from the distinguished competition, with the D and the C capitalized, Excelsior, and then in memory of Stan Lee. And I thought that was really classy, especially as like acknowledging the fact like this guy whooped our ass for years.
Sure.
You know, he did an interview with Kevin Smith that I have brought up a couple times on this show, where he was talking about how they got to a point where they would just mess with DC. They both had offices like across the street from each other. And they started realizing that DC would mimic stuff that they did. So they'd walk in and just arbitrarily at the beginning of a meeting be like, all right, every issue next month must have speech bubbles on it. And just put it out there, and Marvel would be killing DC. So all of a sudden you start seeing these speech bubbles pop up on DC comics.
Yeah.
And they'd walk in and, all right, no more speech bubbles on covers of books. And then DC would just sort of follow suit. Totally arbitrary. Totally That's just funny. Messing with them. But I just thought that was kind of cool. Like I said, I just kind of got caught up to that timeline and what I was reading,
sure.
And I was like, you know what, I thought that was classy. I liked what Marvel did with the black band.
I thought it was cool that Marvel did, you know, obviously did tribute to him, but the part of me that is kind of a design nerd absolutely hated that they put it at the top of the book.
Yeah,
it's the same thing as when they take the numbering and they put it anywhere except in that top corner.
Yeah,
well, like, well, it's like the page Al just showed me. I'm very upset with the font that they use, because it looks like the Lee Jeans, the Stan Lee.
I gotcha.
Whenever they move the numbering, I'm like, we have established how we store our comics based on the fact that you can just look at the top of it and see what number issue it is. So when you move that numbering, like, you're screwing everything up.
Well, you and I have had that rant
destroying your world
ad nauseum.
Right.
They do not care. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was a nice little tribute.
No, it's super cool. Absolutely cool. While we're on the topic of comics, real quick, there's an ad that was in last week's books It's just a full white page, and it's
still not that caught up yet. Right. So I didn't see them.
Okay, so I'm giving you, I'm giving you this information.
You said it was a marathon, Al.
Yeah. So it was. I probably read like 25 comics.
Wow.
30, something like that.
It's a completely white page, and it's some kind of quote about when two species are in the same area, one of them will fight for dominance, kind of thing. And that's all it is. It's a Marvel in-house ad in all the Marvel books from last week. Mm-hmm. It gives you no indication what it's about. You would think it's about some kind of like crossover that's coming this summer or something like that, or whatever like that. This week, same type of ad, pure white page, black lettering. All it says is Hickman.
Oh God!
And the rumor is that he is going to be taking over Uncanny X-Men.
Oh no!
In the summer, and I can feel your pain now. As far as Grant Morrison,
yeah, I was going to say, you're getting Morrisoned.
I'm getting Morrisoned because I'm not a fan of Jonathan Hickman's writing because he tells like 7 to 10 year stories and they don't really pick up until the year 5.
Yeah.
Everything is kind of slow moving and setting up the puzzle pieces until, you know, for like the first couple of years. And I hate that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I, as much as I'm excited about my Uncanny X-Men book being good again, I might be like, oh no. Oh, what are you doing?
Well, you'll enjoy it in 2022.
Right.
So the two species that they're referencing in the first ad, was it humans and X-Men?
Humans and mutants, I would imagine. Okay. For sure.
I guess, I should say humans and mutants.
But while we're on the topic, X-Men.
Yeah.
As of 12:02 last night, Disney now has full control over 21st Century Fox.
Oh.
So we can expect within the next couple of years, the X-Men are on the way to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
As well as the fact that Disney now owns like a big part of Hulu and the Fox television. Disney owns The Simpsons.
Oh, I know. Disney owns everything I've loved as a child.
It's like I said.
Disney just owns everything.
Yeah, like I said before the break, it's kind of it's a brave new world now because Disney owns the thing that I hope doesn't happen is there's that New Mutants movie that's supposed to come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be like a horror movie, but it's based on, you know, an X-Men property. And man, I hope that still comes out. Because that looked weird and fun.
You know, business.
Well, it's supposed to come out this year. I imagine it's still, like, unless they're still filming it.
Right.
You know, I feel like we're too late into the year for it to not come out.
Because it was supposed to, that and the Dark Phoenix movie, I think were supposed to come out at some point near the end of last year, and they pulled them.
Well, I know I've seen ads for the Dark Phoenix. Stuff.
Yeah, there's already trailers for Dark Phoenix,
like,
so that's happening.
New Mutants like posters or some weird cardboard cutout of something.
Yeah.
At the movie theater, I feel like I've seen something for it.
So, are you worried that it's gonna be too dark for Disney?
I think there's been rumors that like they're not so maybe it's too dark, but maybe it's also kind of unfinished, and they might look at it and go like, no, we don't want to put our name on this. Like, just show.
Okay,
it.
All right. Because that I could see. Because if it was like, if you thought it was going to be, you know, like Deadpool will still be Deadpool, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if they continue to make those,
try and change that.
Yeah.
There'll be more jokes about Disney in the movies, though.
Probably. Feel.
There'll
be
lots of wisecracks and.
Because the thing about Disney is like they're. This massive corporation because they know how to do business.
Right.
You know, if there's one thing you notice is missing from Marvel movies and Star Wars movies is the castle with the, you know, Disney at the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, they're going to water something down that's got their logo on it, but they're like, whatever, go ahead, go do your thing, and we're going to make money off of it. So they're not, you know, I was worried about that. When Star Wars got bought up, you know, I was like, oh, it's going to be too Disney and it's going to be watered down. You know, Episode 7 I thought was pretty good, and I don't think they, you know, same thing. What's at the front of that? LucasArts.
Yeah.
They don't care. They own LucasArts. They're making money off it. They put that logo in there instead of their own, you know?
Well, a funny tweet that I'd seen even yesterday before it had, when the news had come down that it's like, as of, you know, midnight tonight, the deal is signed and going to go through, was that now all Disney needs is Google and Amazon. They will have completed the Infinity Gauntlet. They bought LucasArts. They bought Marvel. Now they bought 20th Century Fox. They just need two more large conglomerates, and they will have the Infinity Gauntlet of entertainment.
That's crazy.
And half of everything we watch will disappear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And snap the mouse will snap his fingers.
Yeah.
Speaking of Google, though, the big news this week is that Google is launching a streaming service just for video games. They're getting into the video game. They're to compete with the Nintendo Switch, the next Xbox, which I forget the name of, and the PlayStation 5, which is rumored to be within the next year.
Okay.
And Google has decided, you know what? We're gonna make our own platform, but we're gonna make it streaming so you can play it on Chromecast or a Chrome browser or any of their Pixel devices, maybe even your phone. And all you got to do is buy this controller. this Google controller that hooks up through the Wi-Fi.
And is it like a subscription, like a Netflix thing?
There's not a whole lot of, that's what they're saying, kind of a Netflix-like product called Stadia, which is the plural of stadium. But they showed in the demo, they showed Assassin's Creed Odyssey running on it. And they're talking about that they're throwing a hat in the ring to be the next gaming console, if you will, but a virtual gaming console where like you don't have to store, you don't have to have a hard drive with your game on it. You don't have to buy discs. You don't have to, you know, it's just like you subscribe to this thing or you buy your game and now it's part of your, like Google Play.
Yeah,
works. You buy it on Google Play and now it's part of your thing.
They're turning the gaming console into a middleman then. Essentially is what they're doing. So then they're turning them into a middleman and then eliminating them. And just having you go straight to the source.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. I don't know. I would feel so weird.
I know. It's
not turning on an Xbox or not turning on a PlayStation to play a game. But again, I'm not a big PC gamer, so I don't like, a lot of people have dealt with that for a long time.
Right.
But for me to not boop.
I still have that old man voice in the back of my head that it's like, what happens when Google goes away?
Yeah.
Like, and it's not gonna, it's a huge conglomerate, but what happens when they decide to just like, they do Stadia for like 2 years and go like, yeah, it didn't work. And they just stop doing it. Like all that money you spent on your games.
Yeah.
And your thing, like they can just go whoop and wipe it out.
Oh yeah.
Well, like the news about MySpace eliminating, like losing a whole bunch of stuff from 2000 to 2012.
Nobody's used MySpace since 2001.
I know.
But
MySpace deletes everything. Nobody notices.
Yeah.
No, Amy had told me about that when she read it on Monday. And I'm like, I feel like if you're a musician and you only host your stuff on MySpace, that's on you.
Yeah.
At this point, if you've got stuff on MySpace that like you'll never see again, well, I mean, you had a lot of time to put it someplace else.
Yeah, you really did. that's interesting. And you know what? I mean, I had a little bit of experience with streaming gaming though with that PlayStation Now,
right?
You know, because they've got that a bunch of stuff. It's, you know, some stuff that's, you know, PS3 type of games and stuff like that. And it works just like Netflix. You don't actually download it to your console or whatever. You just stream it. And I know that Jefferson had some issues. I think he tried it out. Maybe it's in its infancy or something.
Sure.
but Jefferson had some issues with it. I did not.
Yeah.
The only reason I didn't, I canceled my subscription was I don't play enough games.
Yeah, to make it worth it.
But I, you know, my nephew would come over and do a little bit of gaming and I would open that up and he would just go in and play a game for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and then move on to something else. And it was like $100 annual fee. And I'll tell you, if I played it more, it would have been worth it. It worked pretty well. So, I think it'll get better. And you know, Google has resources. So,
well, speaking of the online gaming stuff, there are rumors that the Nintendo Switch is going to get access to Xbox Game Pass, which is Xbox's version essentially of that PlayStation service. Like they're gonna somehow between. I don't know if it's gonna be cross platform. Like you can access your Xbox Live on the Nintendo Switch, but there's this rumor that has been circulating for a couple of days now because there's a big electronic show going on where they're revealing stuff like that Google that Google thing, and they're like, hey, you know, you might be able to access your Xbox Game Pass from the Nintendo Switch before the year's over.
Kind of worries me a little bit. Like, is Xbox
Microsoft?
In trouble?
Yeah, is Microsoft?
Do they have to team up with Nintendo to take on Sony PlayStation?
Right.
Are we in the middle of like a big video game war? Who's going to lose? Who's going to win?
Right. Well, yeah. And I'm sure all three of the other companies looking at Google throwing their hat in the ring and going like, okay, like we're going to have to work a little harder.
Yeah. It's like the other gaming companies like the Avengers. They have to take on Thanos.
Right.
You know,
Didn't we talk a while ago about the idea that they might open up like online gaming so that you could play on your Xbox with me on my PlayStation online?
They'd said that they were going to do that for a number of games.
Yeah, there's certain, I think there were just specific games that they're going to have that open to with hopes that in the future, where you buy the game, you can play against somebody who plays the game on whatever console that you're playing it on.
So could this just potentially be a step in that direction?
Maybe Nintendo
and Microsoft were the first ones to kind of like sit down and go, all right.
Right. Without getting too crazy about rumors. That's my first assumption is that they're just going to make it so that like, if I'm playing Fortnite on my Switch, I can play against somebody on the Xbox One and somebody on the PS4. Like, okay. It seems like it makes sense. Speaking of my Nintendo Switch, I didn't want to throw this out there. So before I went to Disc Replay on Monday, last week, me and Amy went there because she wanted to, they sell camera lenses.
Yeah.
At that place. So, and she
sells everything.
They do.
They do. Like a cell phone pawn shop.
Yeah.
That's the angle they need to take.
Yeah, I agree. But she wanted to check out a camera lens, and I'm looking through the Switch games, and they had, and I wanted to bring the case specifically so James could see it, the Sega Genesis collection for the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I was looking at getting this for the PS4.
It's got 50 games on it. It's got 4 or 5 Sonic the Hedgehogs. It's got both Toe Jam and Earls, which
see,
I know you're a huge fan.
That's what I'm always looking for. Toe Jam and Earl.
Yep.
Streets of Rage. I see that one right here.
Yep.
They got the Golden Axe.
Golden Axe is in there.
All three?
Altered Beast. And it's got the capability, like on the Mega Man collection that I got a couple of months ago, where you can rewind. You can hold a trigger to rewind. So as soon as you die, instead of having a save state and then go back to your save state, you can just hold a trigger and rewind back to the point where you were alive and just keep going.
Awesome.
Can you
save your progress?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
You save wherever you want. All the fantasy stars
in there. I might not go get
it
for the Switch, but I definitely got to go get this game then.
Yeah, I recommend it because I, as an emulation gamer, you know, save state is awesome in old games. It makes them a little bit more playable.
Dude, I hate starting over on Toe Jam and Earl. Come on, man. I'm on like planet like...
And as cool as save state is, rewind is so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Once I try to step over and fall.
I finished Altered Beast over the weekend. I've never beaten that game, but I finished Altered Beast because every time I get hit, I just rewind.
Oh, because awesome.
I know, okay, don't run into that. So, but it was a blast, and I'm still playing it. It adds to all the classic Nintendo games that Nintendo's putting out on the NES app as well. And there's news that Konami is going to be releasing some stuff for their 50th anniversary.
Oh, cool.
They're going to release like a Castlevania collection and a Contra collection, and then they've got a collection of just like some of their arcade games too.
Well, they better make the Konami code work.
I agree.
They better unlock something like an achievement. You better be able to put that in and you get something out of it.
Right.
If they're smart.
I think that's about all I got for you guys this week. Actually, Kyle's going to be coming in, and we're going to talk some Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're getting heavy into spoilers for Captain Marvel this week, and then that's pretty much the show.
Yeah, I'm going to step out at that point. Then,
yeah. Well, yeah. You haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
Right. So I'll look forward to talking to you about it when you see it.
Hopefully this weekend, if not the next.
Dude, I'm surprised you put yourself away from the VR. Talking with you on the phone, and I'm like, he's played this game, he's already beat Batman,
right?
He's playing this. I'm like,
he's already trying
to loan me games that he's sick of playing. This is what gives me motion sickness. You try it.
Over the weekend, I loaned you those Move controllers. How did that work out for you?
They worked. I mean, you know what? I played it enough to go, you know what? I do want these, but I don't necessarily feel... like it's an urgent thing. I did go a little bit crazy when I first got the VR and like downloaded a few things, but like one of them was that Apollo 11 experience, which is more of a movie than anything.
Okay.
And it was like $12.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't turn down Batman. And the Ace Combat, I got that when I ordered my VR.
Oh, okay. You came with it? I gotcha.
Yeah. Like I think
mine came with Doom.
Yeah, I think they offered it as a combo pack online, but I ended up getting one of the used, like, refurbished VR headsets because I'm like, listen, I'm going to save a little bit of money because I know I'm not going to play this thing all that much. Like, I'm not much of a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So I could still save money, and I liked one of the other Ace Combat games. I was like, you know what? That's a thing. I would play that, and they've got a VR mode, so it's actually got a full game as well. So that's why I got that. But Batman, I couldn't turn down because, I mean, come on.
It's Batman.
Yeah. And I already had Star Trek.
Yes. Which I'm having trouble actually finding a copy because I want to play that online with you, whether you're on VR or not.
Yeah.
It just sounds like fun. But like there is one copy at one GameStop here, and I've said, hey, save that for me. And then I went in and it's not there.
Oh, of course.
I'm like, come on.
Yeah, well, they're internet live, because I'm betting you anything, no one went in there between you were surfing it.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And you showing up there.
Like, it just wasn't there to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, yeah, no, honestly, I do love the VR, but it has not been difficult to step away from. What a great way to end the segment.
There we go. What do we call it? Shoes in the dryer?
Yeah, exactly. I like gaming, but not that much. Well, that's it for me, everybody.
Hey!
Don't look forward to me on the next segment.
There you go. All right, Nerd Radio coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
I won nothing. Well, I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers. All right, welcome back to Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, as well as Alta 92.9 Boston, and wherever you get your podcasts in the B-Pod Studios Network. Chuck Bean hanging out with you, and we're going to get super spoilery about Captain Marvel right now. James still hanging out in the studio with me.
Yeah.
And we are joined by Kyle.
Hello.
Returning to the show. Good to see you again.
It's been a minute.
Right. So, as I said, we're going to get super spoilery about Captain Marvel.
Spoil the crap out of this movie.
Right. That's why I wanted to put this at the end of the show. So, if you haven't seen Captain Marvel, then you probably want to avoid the rest of the show. And if that's the case, we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Hit pause to come back after you see the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. However, if you have seen the movie and you want to hear a bunch of people nerd out about it, well, you're in the right place. So, James, you were kind of lukewarm about it.
Yeah, I thought it was just okay. I think I described it as like an ice cream sundae, but you just got vanilla ice cream.
Sure.
None of the toppings, nothing
right.
extra, nothing special. It was just a entertaining superhero movie.
Yeah, for sure. I enjoyed it. I thought it was real fun. What about you, Kyle? How did you feel about it?
So, for me, I'm kind of with James on this just a little bit.
Sure.
I thought it was good. I thought it was a little bit of a departure from what we're used to.
In what way?
Just some of the pacing.
Okay.
And some of the comedic value going on was kind of like...
I like that she's a subtle smartass.
Yes.
Like, Tony Stark is very loud about being a smartass.
Yeah.
Whereas she's more like she would mess with Nick, polite
smartass.
She would mess with Nick Fury and then give him a smirk to let him know I'm totally messing with you right now.
But
and that was kind of fun.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. Something a little different for us. I don't really know too much about Captain Marvel, but I ultimately thought it was
cool.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about the character whatsoever.
It is a character that even in the last decade, they've really tried to make her a focal point, like a major player in the Marvel comic universe. But even then, going in, like, I don't feel like I know Carol Danvers very well, but I felt like by the end of this movie, I knew and liked Carol Danvers, the Captain Marvel character.
I agree.
I was like, okay, I'm on board. I want to see more of this character. I want to see this character. It's, well, like when they started doing the Marvel movies, I want to see this character interact with all the rest of the toys in the box.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we all basically enjoyed the movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
The two big things that I've talked to people about that they were not very cool with, the first being the Skrulls. The Skrulls in the Marvel Universe are kind of world domination based, and their planet was eaten by Galactus way back in the day, so they have no planet, but they
are... That would have been interesting to keep that a little bit of that backstory in the movie.
Right.
Unless you're going with this is where I think you might be going.
Well, in the movie, they're much less world domination, more a matter of...
Refugees.
Yeah, the refugees. They're just trying to find some place to live kind of thing.
Yeah, I actually thought that was a little bit of a curveball. Because I know about the Skrulls, because I read Guardians of the Galaxy comics and all that, and I was like, this is a different take on it. So I thought that I will go out and say that I liked that.
I was
because
a fan.
It was different.
Right.
But I sure wasn't expecting them to, I thought they were going to just be the bad guys.
Well, and they do a very good job in the first hour or so of making you
they
believe,
do.
Like, okay, these guys are evil.
Yeah, I did enjoy that twist.
Yeah. The other big thing is that Annette Bening plays Dr. Wendy Lawson, who is Mar-Vell, the person that gives Carol Danvers her powers. And in the comic books, Mar-Vell is a dude who is the original Captain Marvel.
Oh, really?
Who ends up giving Carol Danvers her powers in a significantly different way. It's one of those changes that I look at in that it's really hard to translate that to the screen, I would imagine. So I like this change. I like the idea that the Mar-Vell creates this engine that's supposed to make the plane real good, but, you know, bathes Carol in cosmic rays and gives her powers kind of thing.
I thought that was cool too.
Right. I think it's funny that a lot of people are comparing it. At first, a lot of people were comparing it to Green Lantern. And then after the movie had come out for about a week, everyone's saying it's essentially Dragon Ball Z. Carol is like a half alien that comes to Earth and decides to protect it.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, is that Dragon Ball Z? I'm like, Did something explode? The guy was really good at whatever Dragon Ball Z guy does.
Has a green skinned friend like Piccolo, and you know, just lots of really funny stuff. It definitely for me hit the sweet spot of nostalgia though, because it takes place around 94, 95, and that's like when I was growing up. Yeah, sure. Like Blockbuster Video, and the soundtrack is all these songs from the 90s that I'm like, yeah, I dig this.
Yeah, soundtrack was cool, but I felt like they almost played off like the nostalgia as more of a comedic element.
A little bit.
Yeah. I was like, quit making fun of AOL. Quit making fun of those. Those are my golden days of my youth.
Right, exactly. Those the dial-up sound, for sure.
Yeah, you know, some of that stuff.
For sure. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that. Of all the places you could land in, too, it was a Blockbuster video.
Yep,
I'm
for
like,
sure.
Yes, considering I lived right next to one.
Right.
I was like, yeah.
It was cool to see Agent Coulson again, much less a significantly younger Agent Coulson.
Was it the same guy, or did they have somebody that they kind of CGI'd to look like a younger version of him?
That's Clark Gregg.
Because he looked super young. I was like, man.
Yep.
They did a good job with the CGI and doing the restructuring of the face.
Like, yeah.
Right.
I think it, honestly, well, I don't think it was CGI.
You want to talk about making somebody look young? Look at Sam Jackson in this movie.
Yeah.
Do you think that's CGI, too? I thought I was like, wow, makeup is just...
I think they did some kind of, like, prosthetics on his face and with a little bit of makeup trickery.
You think so?
That's really easy. Maybe a little bit of CGI when you're like really up close.
Right.
But I think they probably used some makeup and some prosthetics.
It's weird because after the Civil War movie where they took Robert Downey Jr. and like de-aged him for that one scene.
Yeah.
Like now I just expect everything done on a computer.
Yeah. Or what is it? The Rogue One, where they had Leia and she was completely just a digital character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was nuts.
Right.
And the old guy. The
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, it was like Tarkin or something like that.
Right. I thought they, going back to that conversation about Rogue One, I thought he should not have like faced the camera ever, because when he was looking dead at the camera, it's like that, I think they call it the Uncanny Valley. Like when I'm looking at him and he's facing the camera, I'm like, that's a...
Yeah, you can tell
program.
It's CGI. Yeah.
That's totally
a program.
That's not a person.
It looks like somebody from Polar Express.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Out of my Star Wars.
Really, though, a lot of a very, very fun movie. I know we've said that multiple times during this conversation.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that I was disappointed in with this movie, I was like, we've been watching all these Marvel films. There's always a huge epic battle.
Yeah.
We're getting ready for Endgame. I'm expecting some kind of huge battle with Captain Marvel. And it was just kind of, you've defeated Jude Law or whatever.
Right. You just finger flicked Yon Rogg across an empty space.
Right.
And you're like, cool, bro.
That's the battle. That's the big. Like, I didn't feel like there was a huge climactic moment.
She did punch a bunch of spaceships.
She did punch
a
bunch of spaceships.
That's true, but I'm like, that's a
cop out,
I feel. Like, I know they said Ronan Packin. Ronan's here to F stuff up. And then she flies through spaceships, and then he's like, peace out. We got to go.
Yeah.
We'll see you later. Take care of me and the Guardians of the Galaxy number one.
Right.
You know, so.
Did you guys notice, too, that one of the guys on Space Force, the black guy, is the dude at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah. I can't remember his name. It's starts with a K. Karoth.
Korath.
Yep. Korath the Destroyer.
Yep.
No, I didn't. I totally missed that one then.
Yeah. He's the guy that... He's fighting Star-Lord on the opening of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
He's like, who?
Yeah, when he tells him he's Star-Lord. Man, I was funny. That's guy. I also thought it was real cool to see, as a comic book fan, her best friend, her daughter is Monica Rambeau, who in the comics takes up the mantle of Captain Marvel after Carol Danvers is no longer Captain Marvel.
Okay.
After Rogue takes her powers away and... puts her in a coma. Monica Rambeau gets some powers and becomes.
Doesn't she turn into? I can't remember. It's I want to say it's Quasar who she turns into, but I know I'm wrong.
It's something like, I think her, like, currently in the comics, I think she's just called Spectrum.
She's
still a hero. She's actually in Next Wave, which was a fantastically funny series written by Warren Ellis, where you found out that Tony Stark hits on every female Avenger.
Can't believe Kyle just dropped the Quasar reference.
Yeah,
and
I
only know Quasar from collecting comic book trading cards.
Yeah, right.
I was like, Quasar, what a lame character.
Right.
It was never my favorite card to get.
That was how I got into comics, man. The superhero comics when they started making those trading cards.
Trading cards. Yeah, I love the trading cards. I was into the trading cards more so than I was reading the comic books because to me, I could buy a pack of cards and get, you know, 12 cards.
Yeah, I know all these characters now.
$5, yeah, on a comic, but I'm only reading a little story, so I felt like I was getting more by collecting all the whole sets of the trading cards.
They need to go, Disney, you need to go back to making the trading cards. Marvel
please
trading
do.
Cards.
Get the Hildebrand Brothers to do with the artwork, too, please.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else you guys want to cover, Captain Marvel-wise?
Goose was cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, that yeah, that cat is fantastic.
I about jumped out of my chair and was just dying because I was not expecting
You're not
it.
Expecting yes, the tentacles?
No. Nope.
Well, they did such a great way of selling that whole thing with Goose because yep. the Skrull guys are all like, oh, my God, you got to be careful around him. You got to be right. careful around him. Don't go too close to him.
Yeah, like, what was it? Talos is like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is it? No.
In the comics, his name is Chewie. Named after Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And when I have the comics where you find out that Chewie is a Flurkin, and it's Rocket. Rocket
oh,
Raccoon.
Yeah.
And
Rocket
it's like,
raccoon.
Yeah, it like pulls a gun on Captain Marvel's cat. It's like, get that thing away from me!
That's funny.
So I was at, like, when I saw that the cat was in the movie, I'm like, oh, no. Oh,
yes.
I know what that means.
So I wonder why they switched the name from Chewie to Goose. Because then obviously Goose is a
from Top
wingman
Gun.
From Top
yeah.
Gun.
Yeah.
I think because in this one she was a pilot and they just thought it would be a nice tip of the hat to
yeah.
Top Gun. Because I think it wasn't one of the pilots named Maverick?
Maverick, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is Maverick.
Yeah, Tom Cruise Maverick and his partner was Goose, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Was there somebody named Maverick, though, within the...
I think there was. I think there was a Maverick mention on like one of the jets, and that's
yeah,
why
maybe.
They snuck it in there as a.
I totally missed that.
So
a couple of goose, a couple of goose eggs.
I watched a lot of Looper videos. Okay,
Easter eggs. I missed. I need to go back and. Check
it definitely
out.
Seems like a movie that's worth seeing a second time. Like
oh,
you're gonna,
sure.
you're definitely gonna see stuff you didn't notice the mm-hmm. first time. And I've seen people online complain that it's kind of paint by numbers as far as Marvel movies. The first movie for a hero is always like. This origin story type
yeah.
of movie.
Well, why? Of course, why not?
But yeah. you know, they got to set up a whole new team.
Yeah, and I feel like this is
yeah.
the most Disney feeling movie that's come from the Marvel universe so far. Like,
yeah,
just I feel like just
I could feel that
smells like the mouse.
Yeah,
you know, it smells like cheese.
Maybe that's why they had to put a cat in it.
Maybe
to make
yeah.
sure the mouse. Was All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Kyle, and spoiling some Captain Marvel. I can't wait for Al to see this in a couple weeks. Can't wait to see how he feels about it. So we'll be back next week with some more Nerd Radio. Make sure you download us on if you download us on iTunes, give us a review, give us a rating, and hit us up on all our social media. Let us know what you think of the show, what you'd like to hear about, and what stuff you don't like to hear. And maybe we'll stop doing that.
Yeah, maybe we'll listen. Maybe we won't.
Maybe we won't. You
maybe
never
we'll
know.
Do it our own way.
Nerd Radio 101 is where you can find us.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out!
Oh, I'll let you know. But yeah, since they're discontinuing...
Okay, how big the D is?
I was about to say, I think the moral of the story here is that Al Beck likes as big a D as possible.
He wants the big D.
Yes, exactly.
He likes them big and orange.
a big orange D.
Big orange D, that's
big,
where you go
big
for.
Big orange D.
Just setting it up.
And that's coming from Mr. 55 Inches over there.
That's
yeah.
right! Now, Mr. 50
there
Inches.
Was, I don't know. There was,
you had to downgrade.
Now,
huh?
Mr. 50 Inches.
Well, I guess you broke it, so you had to cut the 5 of the inches die.
Exactly.
You
had
to
cut it
off. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.